there. Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact, celebrating teen changemakers. I'm your host, Natalie Silverstein. I'm an author, philanthropist, and passionate advocate for family and youth service. On this short weekly pod, I have the honor of meeting tweens, teens, and young adults who are volunteers, advocates, nonprofit founders, activists, and fundraisers. My goal is to celebrate and amplify these big-hearted people and the work they're doing, and to inspire you all, no matter your age, to find your purpose and passion through meaningful service to others. I firmly believe, and these conversations will convince you, that every person can make a difference, one simple act at a time. I am regularly blown away by the tenacity, drive, and big-hearted kindness shown by the young changemakers I interview on this show. My guest today is no exception. High school senior Ananya D cares deeply about women living in refugee camps, and she's especially concerned about their ability to have what they need to care for themselves and to maintain their dignity during their menstrual cycles. This is a perfect episode for Period Poverty Awareness Week, which we honor this week by highlighting Ananya and her nonprofit, Replant. Welcome back, everybody. I'm super excited to introduce you to my new friend, Ananya. Hi, Ananya. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for joining me today. So why don't you introduce yourself a little bit more, how old you are, where you live, where you go to school, what grade you are, all that good stuff, and then tell us all about Replant. Start from the very beginning.
Okay, so my name's Ananya Diddy. I'm 16 years old and I'm going into my senior year of high school at Eastlake in Seattle, Washington. So a little more about Replant. I think back to the very beginning when I was in seventh grade, I really wanted to find a way to help people in our community because my parents made us really aware of what we have relative to the people around us, but I wasn't really sure what I could do with that recognition until I saw how difficult it was for refugees to get by in a world where language is so crucial to success. And being in the seventh grade, I obviously didn't know a lot of ways that we could volunteer with refugees, but then teaching English seemed perfect. And I knew a community service worker through my mom who was working with several refugee families from Afghanistan. And I realized that if me and my friends got involved, we could help them learn English through the same tools that we learned English from growing up. And everyone I knew could basically do it because we'd all been in the school system for so long. We knew kind of how to build it up from the beginning. And so we started teaching them grammar and immersed them in the language through 30-ish minute conversations every day. But over time, these conversations to me became so much more than just teaching them. I started learning about what life is like in conditions that I couldn't even imagine experiencing. And in my conversations with the first refugee I ever actually taught to, I became aware of the extreme lack of sanitation present in refugee camps around the world, especially the ones that she had been to. And I knew that periods are already so hard, even with all the resources in the world, and we would never be able to help bring these refugees out of that situation if we kept trying to use pads and tampons because there's an infinite need for them. And so I was talking to my mom about it and she's a doctor, so she told me about menstrual cups. And I was really skeptical of them at first because I thought, well, if they worked, wouldn't people be using them everywhere? But then I decided to just try it on my own, and it turns out that they were really great. So I got to work trying to organize how to distribute them in camps because menstrual cups last for 10 years at a time, and you just need one for 10 years. So it was a really great solution. I was really confused why people weren't using it, and I think the biggest answer to that is just like lack of knowledge about them, and there's not that much research on them right now, at least. So from there, I tried to first work in the Rohingya refugees in Bangladesh, but the one caveat to menstrual cups is there needs to be water where the cups are going because you need water to clean them out. So it just wasn't working there. So I shifted my focus to some refugees living in Lower India near Bangalore. And I realized that financially it wasn't a feasible idea because cups costed around $25 to $40, which is a lot of money for each refugee. But with time and planning and working with an organization called Asan Cup, we were able to convince them to give us the cup at the same price that they manufacture it for, which is $6. And around here, I realized that that was a lot cheap people didn't really know, because $6 is the same as people spend on like a Starbucks or a coffee every morning. So that figure really did help me convince other teens and families on the cause. And so we started working in Lower India and then also in the Zaleka refugee camp in Malawi. But this whole time I didn't forget about like the refugees we were working here. We expanded Replant to 3 different states. So we have Texas, California, Michigan, Washington. Oh, 4 states. And we work on locally, there's a lot of bringing kids into STEM resources, because there's a huge disadvantage to getting into different STEM fields in college if you don't have the resources growing up. So we work with a lot of youth-led and non-youth-led organizations to host events just for refugees, and then also fundraising for things like when they're having a baby, how to be prepared, and connecting them with like pro bono legal workers, things like that. But yeah, so over the last 2 years, we've fundraised over $25,000. And we distribute cups in 3 camps now. We're now finally, because I coordinated with like the World Vision CEO, and he said there's a part of the Rohingya refugee camp that does have water. So we're working on now slowly introducing it to the camp, which is really exciting.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's all ridiculously impressive, Ananya. So I just want to take a little bit of a step back. You did mention that your mom is a doctor, so she had some, you know, people to connect you with and social services and that sort of stuff. But, you know, logistically, how did you get in touch with these different refugee camps or the people in charge of them in order to help with the distribution? Because that seems, you know, this podcast, we speak to amazing teens who are, you know, doing incredible work all over the world. And I'm sure someone who's listening is probably like, I wouldn't even know where to begin to get in touch with the CEO of World Vision or whatever. So tell me more about how those connections came to be.
Well, I feel like that was genuinely probably the hardest part when I was getting started. And I really just sent a lot of cold emails, like out to different organizations, because I wanted to reach the camps. And I saw like, so the way I did it was I found a research publication that someone had done in the camps. So I was like, well, I bet if they did it in the camps, they would know connections. So I emailed all 4 of like the writers of the paper, and then one of them responded, and then he connected me with someone who works directly in the camps. And then for the Asan Cup, actually, this is a really funny story, but I couldn't find the email of their CEO on their website. But I was finding like a pattern in all their emails. It was like a name at asancup.org. So I was like, I just tried all the variations of her name until I just CC'd all of them. Like, and then it was just her name, and she emailed back the next day, and they had been working a lot on the same thing in low income areas in India. So they were super happy to kind of get me connected, and they had a very like great structure in place that inspired me on how I can do it in other places as well, because they've been doing it for years now. And when I went to visit the village, actually this summer, I went and visited a village in India that was doing a cup distribution. I learned how strong that system was, because they have such a good way of like introducing the cups into communities, so it doesn't seem as foreign, because they bring like local women in to do it.
Sure, of course, of course. Well, that's, you know, that's the critical thing, is to have someone explain it to people so they're not suspicious of it or think that it's not going to work or whatever. So first of all, I just want to say that your networking skills are really top notch. I mean, as a 16-year-old, you are entering your senior year, but there are a lot of adults who don't know how to network that way, to figure out how to email someone whose email address is not readily available. I just think that's incredible. Your tenacity is really wonderful. The fact that, you know, you just CC'd all of them and she wrote back. Like, this is the thing that I try to relay every time in this podcast, is you're going to miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So you might as well take a shot, right? So you might as well send an email. You might as well DM someone. Just DM someone on Instagram, and maybe they get back to you, maybe they don't. You're never going to know unless you try. And your passion for this work is just really super exciting and wonderful and contagious. And the fact that you just kind of didn't give up, like, that's really incredible. I think that everyone thinks you need to have a connection. Someone has to open a door for you. You really seem to have opened all of those doors for yourself, which is just unbelievable. Tell me how you raised the $25,000.
Yeah, so this was one of the most surprising things that I found was, so when I first started in seventh grade, I was realizing like my family, we like cook every Sunday. We cook a lot like for the whole week so we can keep eating. So I was like, what if we like made a little extra food and then sold it? So we would make a little extra food that is like pretty healthy. It was Indian food usually. And then we would kind of sell it and we would like make the price a little more than it normally is. So maybe like it was like $100 for a meal for four, which I feel like if you go to a restaurant, you're going to pay like 70 or maybe 60. But people knew it was going to go to help refugees and it was healthy food. I would go and drop it off at their houses. And so it was really convenient, especially for people who work a lot and still want to be able to eat healthy. And it was such a good way to raise money initially. Like I think we raised like $3,000 or $4,000 from that alone. And then matching was huge once we got 501c3 status. So people who would donate would just match it. And then eventually, once we got to a large enough scales and had everything planned out exactly how we wanted to do it globally, we were able to start applying for grants like Riley's Way, and the Gates Foundation gave us a $10,000 grant, and like Hershey's gave us $2,000 here and there. And so it was just like staying at it. I think like there's obviously so many grants that I didn't get, right? Like it's hard to get grants when you're growing, but again, like you miss all the shots you don't take. Right, and there were right. So many opportunities for youth alone, like organizations who were working on just giving funding out to youth. And those were really great places to start because Hershey's has a program called the Heartwarming Program. And they really do just try to invest in all these like smaller, like people who are trying to make small changes in their community. That was such a great way to start because I feel like it gave me the confidence boost that I could keep fundraising. And there's so many nice programs and people are just so willing to help. Like once I told like my friends over here, they started fundraising in their circle. And when you have all these people fundraising in their circles, I think it just adds up really fast.
Right. Well, you know, you've just touched on so many things that I talk about in my work, in my book. I have a whole chapter on fundraising, you know, and, you know, as you've pointed out, like the worst thing that someone can say to you is no, right? Like you have to ask. If they say no, you say, thank you so much for listening. And then you move on to the next person. So have you experienced, it doesn't seem like you have, but have you experienced any challenges or any obstacles in this work? And can you give us any insights into the ways you overcome them?
Yeah, for sure. I think the biggest thing was age bias, especially when I was first starting, because I was only 14 then. And I think it's very implicit. Like people definitely don't mean to do it, but I think they engage with kids a lot differently than they would engage with adults doing the same work. And it's really difficult to like establish myself being like, hey, can we set up a meeting? Because they're like, you're only 14. Like, right. I'm like, why would I set up a meeting, right? But I think the biggest part was just staying at it. There are people who aren't going to want to help you because maybe you're too young, but staying at it was huge for me. Like I probably sent like 100 emails out at first and I think I heard back from like 5 or 6, but that 5 or 6 was like 6 more than when I started. And the more you build, the more you'll see like the age bias slowly starts to go away, because at first people will be skeptical naturally so, but when you show them like the work you've been doing, the work you hope to achieve, I feel like honestly it's turned into people are more like, I think they're like hopeful for the future that there's like people out there who want to start making this change so early. That's definitely what I've heard a lot.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And listen, you sent out 100 emails, you got 5 or 6 responses. That's actually a pretty good return rate for a cold email. You know, I think that people, again, your ability to network and to think creatively about networking is such a good example for everyone in this work, in social impact work and in nonprofit work, but also just generally in the job field, you know, getting into school, finding a mentor. I mean, you just really have to put yourself out there. You have to have the confidence of your convictions. You have to know what you're talking about. You have to feel passion for this work, which you obviously do. I mean, Ananya, this was such a wonderful conversation. I'm just so, so impressed by the work that you've accomplished and the amount of money that you've raised in such a short period of time. It is such important important work. Obviously, the dignity. We didn't even really go into period poverty because we were talking so much about all of these other really important issues. But I've had other guests on who have dealt with the issue of period poverty here in the United States. It is such a big deal for women from a health perspective, from their dignity. It's just such important work, and especially for refugees who are living in such really uncomfortable circumstances. Ananya, this has been really incredible. Can you share with us a little bit about a social media handle or website or any way that people can get in touch, learn more, all of that good stuff? Or maybe donate, right?
Yeah. Well, the biggest platform that I've kind of built up is our website. It's called helpreplant.org. And I just made the Instagram. Actually, I made the Instagram when we got the Hershey's grant because we had to like post about it. I was like, I don't even have an Instagram. And I think that's the biggest challenge I'm facing is like, how do I go about growing an Instagram account? Just because I don't have a lot of experience in that field, but that's one of the things like connecting with other people helps you do, because now through Riley's Way, there's a bunch of people who have reached out and be like, well, I've grown our Instagram and I can help you. And so connecting with like-minded youth it's just so nice. It's so nice to be able to like share your strengths and learn from other people's strengths. So my Instagram is also Help Replant.
Ananya, this is really incredible. I'm wishing you the best of luck in your senior year. I don't think you're going to need it. I think you're going to do a wonderful job. Any college would be super, super proud to have you. Thank you so much for sharing this story with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for listening. If you were inspired by what you heard today, please follow, rate, and review. These things really matter. And if you know a tween or a teen who is doing great things in his, her, or their community, send them my way. I'd love to meet them and share their stories with a world that could really use a dose of inspiration right about now. You can get in touch with me through my website, simpleactsguide.com. Until next time, remember to keep eyes, ears, hearts, and minds open to the needs of others, and always be kind.